Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Ellie Nyman, for patching me in to the share. Thank you, Jake Weinman, for making all of this possible, bringing us together to learn Hashem's Holy Torah. And thank you to our sponsor for dedicating tonight's share, Lezecher Uli Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh, where his neshama have an aliyah. Yirtzeh Hashem, this week, very soon, we will be celebrating the Yom Kippur of Purim. Purim this week is on Thursday, Wednesday night. Tainis Esther is on Wednesday. Shushan Purim, of course, on Friday. So let's discuss this week something about the very festive holiday, Purim. Came across something very interesting, and let's try to piece some of these ideas together to make some sense out of it. What am I referring to? I'm referring to the date, a very specific date in the Jewish calendar where it appears that the three holidays, well, I shouldn't say three holidays, but three very important events come together. Let's explain. Chazal tell us that there's something called the Dalid Malchios, the four kingdoms. What are the four kingdoms? There's Malchus of Bavel, or we can say the term Golos Bavel, the exile of Bavel. The Babylonians, namely the Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. And the Jewish people went into exile for 70 years. The prophecy of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, we would be in exile for exactly 70 years. That's called Golos Bavel. The Babylonians, led by Nebuchadnezzar, Harasha, the king of Bavel, together with the Kazdim, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, and exiled the Jewish people for 70 years to Bavel. Then we have what's called the Golos of Paras U'Madai. Paras U'Madai refers to the era. This was during, towards the end of the 70 years of exile, where Haman Harasha rose to power together with Ahasuerus, and together they planned and plotted to destroy the Jewish people. First, the 10 sons of Haman issued a complaint that the Jews are rebelling, lie in Yerushalayim, after Koresh gave the Jews permission to return and rebuild. And Haman's 10 sons, they sent a slanderous report that the Jews falsely, was a false report, were rebelling, and they were able to maneuver, manipulate, lobby the king, Koresh, to issue a stop order. The Jews should not continue to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And then things got worse with the rise of Ahasuerus to the throne, and his second in command was Haman. And Haman, as we all know the story of the Megillah, he paid Ahasuerus 10,000 talents of silver to have permission to enact, to legislate for the demise, the genocide of the Jewish people. Lahashmid, Laharog, or La'abed, es kol ha'yehudim, minar v'yadzokin, taf v'noshim b'yomecha. Every single Jew, man, woman, child, no exception, should be annihilated on the 13th day of Adar. And miraculously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had pity upon us through the work of Esther and Mordechai, and we survived. And this is what is called the Golos of Paras U'Madai. We survived the Golos of Paras U'Madai. And then we come to the third Golos. The third Golos is called Golos of Yavan. The Malchus of Yavan. The Golos of Yavan. We are approximately 200 years later, in the time of the Bais Sheni, the Syrian Greeks rose up and attempted to defile the sanctity of the Beis HaMikdash. They penetrated the inner core of the Jewish people, persuaded many Jews to embrace their ideology of whatever Yavan stands for, philosophy, celebration of the body, of beauty, of chokhmah, wisdom, all devoid of anything religious. They tried to destroy the neshama, the sanctity of the Jewish people. And Matityahu and his sons rose up, prevailed, and we survived. We have the Yom Tov of Hanukkah to celebrate our survival of Golos Yavan. And then years later, after 200 years later, it was a long process. The Romans came into Eretz Yisrael and they took control. We actually invited them in to take control, unfortunately. And ultimately, they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, Titos, Nivruz Bar Adan, and there was the Churban Bayis Sheni. And we have gone into exile already 1,953 years since the Churban Bayis Sheni. And this is what is called Golos Edom. And we have confidence that the same way we survived the Golos of Bavel, we survived the Golos of Paras U'Madai, we survived the Golos of Yavan, we will survive very soon. The Sheikh will come and survive the Golos of Edom. Now let's understand. Let's look at the Megillah. Came across this in the Sefer from Daniel Gladstein, the Shlita. Wonderful, wonderful Sefer. Highly recommended Sefer. Has an enormous amount of material. And one of the things he mentions there is that the Megillah begins by telling us that there was a party, there was a celebration that lasted 180 years. Chazal tell us that the reason for the celebration, Achashverosh, he made a mistake, he miscalculated, he was well aware that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, everyone knew the prophecy of Yirmiyahu HaNavi, the Jews would be in would go to exile for exactly 70 years. And in his calculation, the 70 years have come to an end. Achashverosh mistakenly made the calculation from the time of the Golas Yechoniah. Asher Hagalam Yerushalayim HaGolah Asher Hagalat Sa'im Yechoniah Melech Yehuda. 11 years before the Churban Beis HaMikdash. In the mind of Achashverosh, he felt that the beginning of the exile really began 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And it was that now, exactly 70 years since the Golas of Yechoniah, with the Chorosh, the Hamasker, which simply means the craftsmen and the gatekeepers, the military element of the Jewish people, people who were skilled in making weapons, people that were skilled in defense of Yerushalayim. If a nation doesn't have soldiers, a defense system, it's equivalent to the nation having gone into exile. Chazal tell us the Chorosh, the Hamasker, really refers to the Talmidei Chachamim, the leaders of the Jewish people, and that's equally problematic if the leaders, the Talmidei Chacham, are no longer in the land. It's kielu we've gone into, as if we've gone into exile. But Achashverosh was wrong. He was mistaken because the goal of the calculation began when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. He was 11 years old. But he was unaware of this error, and he made a celebration, and we assume the celebration began on Rosh Hashanah, so the celebration of 180 years, and since the Jewish calendar, when the Yevio said it's going to be 70 years, the 70 years was on the to be calculated from the first day of Rosh Hashanah following the exile. Meanwhile, he made a mistake, and he celebrated on Aleph Tishrei 70 years since the Golus of Yehoyachin and the Chorosh v'Hamas. And it was now 70 years later since that time on the Aleph Tishrei, and he made a party for 180 days. And then the Pasuk tells us that after the 180 days was over, he made another party, he extended the party an additional 7 days for the people of Shushan Hadira, the locals, those that lived in his vicinity, in his palace, in the little section where he resided, a special party for 7 days. So in total, the party was 187 days. You take out a calendar and you count from Rosh Hashanah 187 days. And we know that Rosh Chodesh sometimes is 2 days, sometimes is 1 day. If you add up the days, assuming that all of the months are Mole with 30 days, it comes out to exactly the calendar date of the seventh day of the last party. Day 187 was the first day of Chanukah. Chof Hei Kislev. Chanukah didn't happen yet for another 200 years. But the calendar day, 187 days from the first day of Tishrei, is Chof Hei Kislev, assuming all of the months are Mole, 30-day months. Chanukah began, we know, on Chof Hei Kislev. What else happened on Chof Hei Kislev? Chazal tell us that the Jewish people in the Midbar, they completed the Mishkan. The Mishkan was complete, but Hashem did not want to allow the Jewish people to actually erect the Mishkan and serve. Hashem wanted us to wait until Aleph Nisan. We had to wait a little bit for the right time. But the Mishkan was complete. It was ready. And now we have the Megillah, the story of the Megillah. What happened on this day? Let's go back and discuss what happened on this day, on the 25th day of Kislev. On this 25th day of Kislev, the last day of the party, day 187, the king calls for Vashti. Vashti was the child of Belshazzar. She was the last living royal descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a son, Bal-Adon, Merodach. Had a grandson, Belshazzar. Belshazzar had a daughter, Vashti. Perhaps there were additional descendants in between. Seems more accurately, there were five. There were another two. Chazal focus on Beladan, Meroidach, and Belshazzar, Vashti. She was the last living survivor, royal survivor, descendant of Nebuchadnezzar. The Golus of Bavel was not over. The Golus of Bavel lingered until her death. As long as Nebuchadnezzar had a living survivor in this world of influence, there was always a threat, a desire to Klal Yisrael. Her existence, the existence of such a person who captured, bodied who Nebuchadnezzar was, Bavel was alive. Day 187 of the party was the end of Golos Bavel. When Vashti refused to appear, Achashverosh convened a meeting with his seven advisors, and the decision was that she should be executed. And with her execution, the Golos of Bavel came to an end. No longer was there any remnant, any vestige of Nebuchadnezzar, he's gone. Baladan is gone. Belshazzar is gone. And Vashti has finally been eliminated. The 25th of Kislev was also the end of Golus Yavan. It was the day when the Hashmonaim overcame, prevailed upon the Yavanim, the Misyavnim, from without, from within, our oppressors. The 25th day of Kislev was the end of Golus Yavan. In the Purim Megillah, it's a little different. It took a little bit of time for the events to play out. Esther, Vashti was executed, and shortly thereafter, Achashverosh was looking for a new queen, and Esther was selected. Shisha Chodoshim Shem Hamor, Shisha Chodoshim Abisamin, Zerah Dixon Viseresh, Haman. It took a little time until the events played out. The Gzerah, a time of war, until they finally rested from their enemies. But when the miracle occurred, it was the revelation that retroactively we were able to reflect that the day of 25 Kislev, Hashem already saved us. We may have been physically spared and eliminated our enemy a couple of years later with the war where the Jewish people survived. As the Rambam says, Leniskat Ish, not even one man was harmed. And the Jewish people eliminated from the enemy, our enemies, 5,070 people, Shushan, 300 people. And then the next day there were more. But when the miracle played out, it was a revelation. We now understood why it was that Vashti was executed. It was only for one reason, to make room for Esther Hamalka to save us during this very difficult time. In hindsight, the miracle of Purim, the end of the Golus of Paras Umalai, also happened on that very same day, on the day of the 25th day of Kislev. Isn't it interesting that we have a triple salvation on one day? And it's worthy to note that the form of the salvation is different. With regard to Bavel, it came to an end. Vashti was eliminated. With regard to Yavan, we wouldn't call it an end. It's where the Jewish people prevail. They overcame their enemies. With regard to the Purim story, Paras Umadai, it's different. It's a reflection in hindsight, retroactively. That's not the right word, but looking back, in hindsight, we see, indeed, Hashem was there from the very beginning, creating the environment, the situation, what would be necessary, the tools that we would need for salvation would be in place. Three different types of salvation. An end, a salvation of prevailing, and a salvation of where we can look back in hindsight and see that Hashem was there to save us from the very beginning. Well, what about the Golus of Edom? What is Edom? Chazal tell us the Golus of Edom is really the synthesis of all three. Edom is unique. The Golus of Edom, if we study Jewish history for 1,953 years, it's so clear that Edom is much more challenging than the other three put together because the elements of all three are present. We have been exiled from our homeland. We don't, during this time, Baruch Hashem, today things are a little bit different. We have a homeland, not a little bit different, it's a lot different, but there's still a lot of room left to improve. But most of our history, we had nothing, nothing. Wandering Jew, that has the trappings of Bavel. We've been attacked, our Neshama, Crusades, Inquisition, just to mention two, where our Neshamas were under attack. And our bodies, the Neshamas Yavan, and our bodies were attacked. Holocaust, do we even need to mention? All of the pogroms, blood libels, attempts to destroy the Jewish people. Has this not been an attempt to outdo Haman? The Golus of Edom combines the elements of the first three. And we have to appreciate that when Mashiach will come, our salvation will come, it will be all three together. On the one hand, we will prevail. Shtablos, we have to do something. We can't sit back and do nothing. There has to be advocacy. On the other hand, the evil will just end, dissipate. Number three, we'll be able to look back and see in hindsight, Hashem was always there. Hashem was always there from the very beginning. It's hard for us to understand that now, after studying Jewish history and witnessing the most evil, heinous events that overcome our people, which we suffer from Ad Hayom Hazeh, all the way till today. But we have to have a moon that just as poor, we realize Hashem is with us from the very beginning. Hashem is with us from the very beginning. And what do we have to do? Well, here's where the other event comes in. The first Chof Hei Kislev that's mentioned in the Chazal, in the Torah, the first time something is mentioned is very significant. Captures the essence. We were all ready on the 25th day of Kislev to serve Hashem in the new Mishkan. Yet Hashem says, wait, wait, the time is not right. That's where we are holding today. We're waiting for this one day where all three will come together. But we have to appreciate Hashem has his timeline, his reasons. Achak Eloi, Chol Yoyim Shayava. We await for Hashem every single day when He'll bring the Geula. Just as Jewish people in the desert, when they built the Mishkan, they were ready. Chav Hei Kislev arrived. All of the donations were collected. All of the labor, the craftsmanship was complete. Everything was ready, but Hashem said, wait. And we patiently waited until Aleph Nisan. We fulfilled then Achake Eloi. The Chol Yoyim Sheyavai. Yirtz Hashem, may this Purim may be that day. May the Purim that we experience, may we reflect. Purim brings together all three. All of the galus of the Jewish people overlap. They overlap. Perhaps the most significant is Purim. This Purim overlaps in a way where it takes us back to reflect in hindsight. Hashem was always with us. It covers both in a very profound way. But we have to be patient, and we have to intensify our emuna shtut in Hashem. I want to wish you all a wonderful, joyous Purim, Purim Sameach, a Freilich and Purim to one and all. Enjoy the Purim, cherish the day, grow from the day. May the day's bracha bring success to you all in your life, for you and your family. And may we witness to see the coming of Mashiach, Ben Hera, V'Ameinu, Amen. Thank you, and have a good night.